is a summary, no, the content of my talk. We have made a variable resolution version of the finite volume dynamical core, the finite volume GCN. And it is basically a revision from the NASA finite volume dynamical core based on the work of Lin and Lu in the 1990s. And we also make a dynamics and physics interface to use the ANCA CCM3 physics. Okay, based on some considerations of the variable resolution, we have modified the traditional stretch grid a little bit, and we also use multiple high resolution areas. Okay, and this grid we used, the properties of this grid will be demonstrated with some numerical experiments, with including real data simulation. Now, first of all, here's a review of the NASA finite volume dynamical core. The governing equation may look a little weird to you, but this is what we use in the NASA finite volume dynamical core. Well, the basic idea is we actually sort of rewrite the primitive equations here. The basic idea here is that we want to use the diverging coordinates in vertical directions. With the hydrostatic assumption, we can decouple the three-dimensional atmosphere into a sequence of two-dimensional layers, inertial layers, because the weight of the Lagrangian layer is balanced by the pressure difference at Lagrangian surfaces. So we try to write the Gamma equations in a two-dimensional sense instead of three-dimensional. Okay, so the notation here mostly standard, except delta P is the pressure difference contained in a Lagrangian layer, which is defined with the hydrostatic relationship. Okay, and theta is the potential temperature. Okay, and so this one would be the continuity equation, and this one would be the thermodynamic equations. Okay, so these two equations describe the conservation of mass and thermodynamic energy, which I refer to theta multiplied by delta P. If you take a closer look at the delta P, it's in fact a vertical integral of the Lagrangian layer, okay? And it represents the, except for the constant G, it is actually the two-dimensional mass density, okay, in a Lagrangian layer, okay? Because we already integrated in the vertical direction, okay, with the hydrostatic relationship. Okay, so we have the conservative form of transport equation without any source term on the right hand side for these two quantities, the mass and the thermodynamic energy, I call it. And then the tricky part is probably the momentum equation we used here. Now, it looks very much like a shallow water equation, except for the calculation of the pressure gradient force. Okay, for the calculation of pressure gradient force, we used the algorithm developed by Lin, published in QJIMS 97. It's done with the Green theorem by integrating the pressure surrounding the grid box. Okay, it reduced. The reason I wrote it like this, okay, you notice that these two gradients has different, is actually following different coordinate surfaces. This one is written in terms of the Lagrangian coordinate surface, and this one I denoted with following the pressure coordinate surface. It is because this algorithm, in fact, reduced to the central difference of the geopotential, okay, when the Lagrangian coordinates coincide with the pressure coordinates. Of course, you can actually rewrite this term with is a natural factor, some derivative of the pressure with respect to a Lagrangian coordinate. But in fact, we don't really calculate the Lagrangian coordinates in the dynamical code. So I think it's just more concise to write it this way. Well, maybe we consider writing it in a more rigorous way in terms of Lagrangian coordinate system. Okay. And so these are some properties of important properties for this dynamical code, is that we conserve the mass, thermodynamic energy, according to this equation. And in the shallow water case, okay, if the coordinate system are exactly the same here, okay, you take a closed product of the wind components, you actually get a conservative form of the transport equation for the absolute vorticity. Okay, so absolute vorticity is conserved in a two-dimensional, in each layer. Okay, but in a three-dimensional case, because the way we calculate the pressure gradient force, which we think is more accurate, but this leads to a slight violation of the conservation of absolute vorticity. We know that absolute vorticity is actually not conserved in 3D model, but in a two-dimensional layer, the real quantity that is conserved is in fact the integral of the absolute vorticity, and we know vorticity is in fact just the density function of the circulation. In a closed system, the net circulation is actually zero, so it's always conserved there. The result is actually only a conservation of the Coriolis force in the integral Coriolis force. Okay. And I think that the main shortcoming for this dynamical is probably the explicit time discretization we use here. We have a severe restriction on the time step for the gravity waves. In fact, it's a Riemann characteristic. Okay, sometimes we just abuse the terms, just write it in gravity waves. Okay, and we have volume integrals on the C grid and D grid. And the C grid is to provide the advection wind in the mid time level. Okay, and so D grid is the motivation of D grid is for the definition of the absolute vorticity and the prediction of absolute vorticity. Okay, and we have this Fox form semi-Lagrangian transport in each horizontal layer, and good feature is locally conserved and it's monotonic. Was strictly monotonic in one dimension, but not strictly monotonic in multiple dimensions. Okay. So, and the Lagrangian coordinates make the model more accurate and efficient, because this is unique because of this transport algorithm. We have to consider the here we use the dimensional splitting, and in the estimate of each the flux in each dimension, we have to consider the contribution from other directions. So in the 2D case, the adjustment for the flux from the other dimension is only one of the effective operator, but in the three-dimensional case, each dimension will take two adjustments from each dimension, one from each dimension, so which is quite expensive, in fact. So if we do not decouple the atmosphere into two-dimensional layers, that adjustment is actually quite expensive. So this Lagrangian layer decouple the three-dimensional atmosphere and make it more efficient, because the adjustment reduced from 6 to 3 to 2 actually only. So, and during this process, at a certain time, maybe let's say 30 minutes or even 2 hours, 3 hours, we have to remap the Lagrangian surface, because it will deform. Well, the Lagrangian surface we're calling here, which is referring to the vertical direction, not horizontal. Horizontal is over there. Okay. So, in that remapping process, we could enforce the conservation of total energy. Okay, so this is just a rough review of this dynamical code. Here are some properties of this dynamical code related to the implementation of variable resolution. Well, this first of all, this monotonic finite volume transport is very highly nonlinear intrinsic diffusion, and it also has little dispersion. I think this property is advantageous for implementing variable resolution. Well, because of course we want accuracy in high resolution areas, and we know that in the implementation of variable resolution, we could generate extra noise because of the due to the grid irregularity. Okay. So, and because of the non-linearity of the diffusion, okay, it absorbs the noise very well in the low resolution area. In other words, the diffusion effect is quite strong in the low resolution area. Okay. And then again, for the flux form semi-Lagrangian transport, well, we don't have to repeat this, but the important thing to have a semi-Lagrangian transport is that it allows us to effectively filter the short gravity waves. Okay, here my personal view is that actually there are two types of instability. One is the nonlinear instability of the momentum transport, okay, which happened in the transport process. The other one is the gravity waves, of course, it's well known. Okay, I don't think you can filter control these instabilities if they're present simultaneously, because they will interact. Because, okay, that thing is the momentum transport, this thing is the pressure gradient force. They appear in the same momentum equation. You know, they would affect each other. So we must have at least the semi-Lagrangian transport to allow us to have a clean filtering of the gravity waves. So this is an important feature, even just to make the model work. Okay. And again, for the implicit time discretion we have, the main shortcoming is that it affects the efficiency. We have severe constraint for the small time. The time step is quite small, you will see. And then we still need the spectral filters in the polar areas. Okay, particularly we need the global memory, and which affects the parallel efficiency. Now, the advantage of the global variable resolution, I think, is some of the well-known. We have a consistent interaction between the regional and global scales, and we don't have the little boundary condition problems. Okay, and it is well proved by the Canadians that we can use this for accurate and efficient regional weather forecast, and this is what we are working on. Well, we think there's a good potential for effective downscaling for regional climate. So, okay, and here's a couple of conditions, I think, for the effective downscaling for the regional climate. Okay, now, first of all, we must not have significant degradation of the enforced dynamics in low resolution areas, because where we reduce the resolution, of course, we would expect some degradation of the solution in low resolution area. But we want to control this degradation, make it not significant. Otherwise, well, in the context of a regional climate and regional forecast, the difference is that regional climate, we have a very long-term integration, right? And this one, we only have a few days integration, or at most, a couple of weeks. You could just set the areas of interest large enough so that your forecast domain will not be affected by the degradation from outside. Okay, but those were actually basically just talking about short range weather forecast. Other than that, if your integration is longer, then you definitely have to be concerned with the degradation from outside will propagate into the area of interest and contaminate your solution. Okay, so for our purpose, because we need long-term integration, we have to control the errors in the low resolution areas. Okay, and we're hoping to benefit from dominating local forces in high resolution areas. Okay, so some properties of the semi-stretch grid we modify. Okay, I'll show you how it looks like. Now, here's, first of all, this is the resolution function of the grid system. Okay, The abscissor is just the number of grids, and the vertical coordinates here is the resolution. Okay, we are actually just the black circles here is the resolution, the reference resolution from the uniform grid, which is exactly one. I normalize. Okay, and what we are doing here is only to redistribute the grid, okay, focus the grid to where we want it, you know, we call it the areas of interest, okay. Now, the traditional stretching would be, we would have a triangle here, you know, there, okay. So, and that thing, I did some experiments about that, only simple 1D experiments, okay. That thing actually produce quite significant dispersion effects. This dispersion, if the grid resolution is changed abruptly. Okay, so the first thing I did, I modified the resolution function with a parabolic distribution here. You see it's a smooth here instead of a sharp angle. Okay, and furthermore, I found that's still not enough. Okay, I had to cut the mountain. The resolution is still pretty close here. If you check the ratio of the resolution, we are trying to make high resolution here, but then in the extent of coarse resolution out there, and the coarse resolution out there actually would increase the amplitude of the gravity waves. Well, the gravity waves, part of the contribution is coming from significant divergence, and which is because the inaccuracy of our estimate of the wind velocity in a discrete system. Okay. So the next modification I did is to control the maximum resolution, okay, in the coarse resolution area with this kind of function. Still, I have a parabolic modification with a smooth corner here to mitigate the effect of dispersion. Okay. So this is the resolution function in one shown in one dimensional. Like I summarized here, the purpose of using this modification is to increase the global accuracy approximation, because here we don't have so much, the resolution is not so close here compared to this one, right? Okay, and then particularly for this dynamical core, we avoid excessive diffusion in low resolution area, because diffusion property basically because we use the PPM, the monotonic, okay, monotonic finite volume transport, and which is very diffusive in low resolution areas, okay, and it might get the dispersion due to the grid irregularity, okay, but it's slightly efficient than the fully stretched grid, okay. And then we also use the multiple high-resolution areas to identify major resources of physical forcing and then control the noise in areas of tough terrain. Let me show you quickly. We have four high-resolution area. Well, this is our primary area of interest, and here's Himalaya. We have a high resolution window there for control to deal with the tough terrain and also the Andes. And it also results, we have a focused area in the Indian Ocean and in this area of the El Niño. Okay. Now, the 1D experiment. Okay. I guess we don't have much time. Oh, anyway, I actually made a 1D model projected from a 3D dynamical core for the idealized case experiments. And all the experiments here to be shown is demonstrated with the piecewise parabolic method. Okay, resolution is 200 cells. And for passive advection text, the CFL number is defined with wind velocity. And for the shallow water waves, the CFL number is defined with Riemann characteristic, or sometimes just call it gravity waves, U plus C. Okay. Now, here's the simulation of the tacit advection at pretend evolutions. Current number is 0.8. Okay, we have a wave trend here. You see, all the functions are okay. We're comparing different grid systems here. Okay, the black curve is the analytic solution. Okay, and then the uniform grid, the solution with the uniform grid, is plotted with the gold color here. Okay, and then the semi-stretched grid with the red color here, red spots here, and then fully stretched grid. I'm talking about the traditional stretched grid modified with the parabolic buffer, the green curve I showed you before. Okay, so we have a different grid system. You can see the effect of diffusion here. Okay, because this fully stretched grid has very coarse resolution outside, so diffusion effect is very strong out there and propagate back at the pretend evolution. See the amplitude. This is the Gaussian distribution. Okay, it's reduced to about half, and then it's much better improved with the semi-stretched grid, and it is better with the uniform grid. We're talking about the same number of grid points. Okay, well, the point is that we don't want this degradation of the enforced dynamics to be too big. Okay, and this is the square wave, and this is triangular. This is the elliptic shape. Okay. Well, just a quick. Here's when you have wave number 5, the diffusion effect is not so much different, but still you can see the semi-stretched grid is pretty close to the uniform resolution, while the fully stretched grid has much more diffusion here. And this diffusion effect is a lot stronger if you're simulating higher wave numbers. This is what we call highly nonlinear in wave numbers. Okay, so you see this one is almost gone with the fully stretched grid. Okay, the point here is that we want to see the effect of the semi-stretched grid relative to the fully stretched grid. Okay, and also a quick plot of the vertical waves. This is one-dimensional wave breaking nonlinear Shearer-Walker equation. Okay, the green spot is simulated by the fully stretched grid. We see some noise here. Okay, this is because of the divergence. Okay, and then the semi-stretched grid is much better controlled. Okay, now with these modifications, okay, the simulation with the full model. Okay, here's a preliminary result, the zonal mean of the zonal wind. Well, okay, the black curve, the black contours here are simulated with the uniform grid. That is the original dynamical code developed by Lin and Lu. Okay, and the color contours is simulated with the semi-stretched grid with the four areas of interest. Okay, we found that these high resolution windows help control the noise from the mountains. Okay, so it's a good idea from Michael. Okay, and from here we see that basically we have a pretty good global consistency of the distribution, and you see the color contours here has a much better shape in the jet. Okay, and which is also the amplitude of the jet is also bigger. There's an extra contour 25 here, okay, out of the uniform grid version. Okay, so I think this is encouraging for us to develop a stretch grid approach. Okay. Now, okay. Well, okay. Here's the conclusions here. Okay. Well, again, we have the conservation of mass, absolute vorticity, and thermodynamic dynamic energy, or the total energy. And then some features of this is already described. Okay, the flux from semi-Lagrangian transport allows effective filtering of gravity waves, and the semi-stretched grid increase the global accuracy. Multiple high resolution areas identify major source of physical forcing and control the noise over top terrain. The cost is actually very cheap. It's only if you optimize it well, actually I did it only with 3 to 5% extra cost for wind pollution. And now we get to do some regional experiments. Maybe we could also use it for regional weather forecast. But our main goal is for regional climate, okay, which is an area that is yet to be, we need more experience on that for the regional climate. Okay. And the main thing here, the main shortcoming again is the time steps, which is quite a severe restriction, okay. And we still need the global memory in the whole areas. Okay, this is it.